קראו. It's Amalek. What is קראו? We can answer again to the מקרה. By accident. It just happened. And this is Amalek. And Haman is one of the descendant of Amalek. Okay. So now, let's understand another interesting thing about Vayikra, Kara, Karau. What is Kar?
Cold.
And Kara is also cold.
So he called the
Kara is a, let's say, how do you call it? It's like...
Ice?
Yes, it's a freeze, like a very freezing weather. Kara, they call it Kara in Hebrew. Mm. Says, I don't remember who it was, it's written in Ten Chelkeinu, it's very, very, very nice idea. He says, the problem, says Mordechai to Esther Amalka, is that Am Yisrael are cold. You know, when somebody is ill, very ill, as long as his body has got still body heat, you can try and save him. And maybe he will be saved. But if the body is cold, what does it mean?
It's dead.
It's dead. So what Mordechai is telling, Am Yisrael are dead. They don't care about what's happening around them. They don't care sitting in the Hashverosh Suda and enjoying it while this guy is using the tools, the Kelim of Beit HaMikdash, wearing the clothes of Kohen Gadol and what else is doing there. It means that they are called to the Torah. So regarding the Torah, they are dead. That's Kasher Karcha Baderech. This is what Amalek is doing. He wants us to be called to God. And we, what was the golden calf? 3,000 people did the sin, and all the others are looking, doing nothing. How can it be?
At least they didn't enjoy.
So it's not funny. So this case is even worse. Not enough.
Yeah.
They didn't care. They enjoyed.
That's right.
The meal of Achashverosh. And that's why they were getting punished. So we saw today a very interesting thing about Vayikre, Mikre, Kara, Vayikra. And it's all connected to the small Aleph of the first word of Sefer Vayikra.
Can I question myself?
Yes. You can ask questions. I don't know if I've got an answer, but you can ask.
Yeah. Talking about the Jews who enjoyed the meal.
Yes.
But in this time, the kingdom of Ahasuerus was all the world. He was almost king of all the world. So what have to do the Jews who were living in the other side of the planet with the meal? And even then, Hashem wanted to destroy all the Jews. All.
Kol Yisrael arevim ze baze. This is also a very important lesson for us to understand. If we think for a minute that we can sit in the yeshiva and learn Torah and do mitzvahs and keep kosher and all the others are not doing it, we are okay and everything is going to be 100%, you're mistaken. Mm-hmm. It's like if you have a part that is ill in your body, it doesn't matter if all the body is 100%. This part is hurting you. And it's affecting you. In other words,
if somebody
is doing something wrong, you go, what was it in the desert? The desert. What did Am Yisrael did in the desert? For example, talking about the golden calf, we said there were 3,000 people. There were a few millions. What is 3,000 people? And then when we talk about whatever we're going to look, it's those people, God's got angry at those people that wanted to collect the manna on Saturday. Who were the people? How many were they? Datan v'Aviram, two people. Achan in Yericho. Yoshua says, don't touch anything. And then he says, the people had sinned and sinned. Woo, what the people? Woo, it's just one guy. And he took something out of the... That's what he did. Nothing special. But that's exactly the point. They say somebody who killed by accident has to go to Ir Miklat, to a sanctuary, okay? He's there till the Kohen Gadol dies. In other words, this guy is sitting and davening all the day and asking what?
You should die already.
So they say that the parents and the wives of the Kohen Gadol used to provide food, good food. Cake, chun, everything, what they wanted, kegel, whatever. Just don't pray. We'll make you good life. Just don't pray that the Kohen Gadol will die. Why? What is the connection between the Kohen Gadol and the guy who killed by accident? What is the connection? The connection is very simple. When Moshe Rabbeinu receives the two luchot, the tablets, God is telling him, "Red kishichet amcha, go down because your people sinned." Say, "Go down," says Rashi. "Red migdulatcha, you go down from your greatness." Why? Because the leader is connected to the people. You cannot disconnect it. It's a part. In other words, if the people are doing wrong, it has to do with the leader. And the leader is the one who's going to pay for it. It's responsibility. Kohen Gadol, that in his lifetime, there are people that kill by accident, he didn't do his job right. He didn't daven to God, he didn't pray properly, he didn't educate the nation, because that's the job of the Kohen. The Kohen, they were the teachers, they were the rabbis, they were the one who were dealing with God and telling the people what is right and what is wrong. So if they did a lesson good, people will be careful. That's why you see rabbis are really saying that people don't realize it, that to go against the law of the Ta'abura, the law of the country, like going on a red light, walking on a red light, driving on a red light, or walking in the middle of the street instead of the pavement. Those are sins that you're not allowed to do according to halacha. You don't play around with it. In other words, you have to keep yourself. Now, if you don't get the right education, then who is the one to blame?
The teacher. And the parents?
Everybody's got his part.
So what we have to do when you see that the people are not keeping Shabbat and you have to throw stones? What you have to do? No, go in the street and protest?
No.
What can you do? This is the same. We are still seeing all the time and we don't do anything. So
you said
we are doing the same thing that the
your job.
You're keeping Shabbos?
Yeah, but I keep for me, not for them. This
no,
is the point.
You keep no, for
so,
everyone.
So you have to think that you're not keeping it only for yourself. That's exactly the problem. You see, we're egoistic.
Yes.
We do everything. I do.
No.
That's what we're talking about. If you think this way, that's exactly the problem. You cannot think this way.
No, but
you
I
have
mean,
to think. No,
I
they
mean,
say that one no, day
I,
they
I don't do it for me. I do because I know that there is God and He told you the Torah and the Torah is written 7 times or more. Keep Shabbos.
Okay.
But they don't do it. So what I have to do? No.
No.
What
you
do if I keep Shabbos?
You don't do it.
As a model for them, they don't
Thank
care.
God you do.
I tell you what you do. I tell you what you do. You go on the street and you see a Talmid Chacham. You look the way he behaves. Does it have an influence on you?
Of course. Positive or negative.
Oh. So in other words, if this guy is acting in a very good way,
it's positive.
It's positive, and this can be a role model for me.
Yeah.
Says, look at this guy, wow, how he behaves. In other words, I will start thinking, maybe I should be like him. This is a good guy, this is a nice guy. In other words, the way we behave in the street, the way we behave when we buy something, the way we behave when we walk on the street, the way we behave to other people, that's what we're talking about. That's a sacrifice. That's exactly the point. It's very easy to do for yourself. I am all right, I'm 100%, and walk away and don't care about what's going around. Or even worse is, sometimes you have this guy, he's tzaddik, a real tzaddik, but the minute it comes to somebody who aggravates him, wow, you find out that this tzaddik suddenly turns into a beast. What happened?
He's copying me.
Is the tzaddik in the wearing a wolf?
That's why the Gemara says, Talmid Chacham, שנמצא רבב על ביתנו, מתחייב מיתה. Talmid Chacham who goes, and there is something dirty on his blouse, for example, he deserves to die. It's unbelievable.
Tzaddik?
Why? Because it's a symbol. If a Talmid Chacham walks in the street with dirty clothes, he deserves to die. Because you are you're a tzaddik, you're supposed to show people how a tzaddik looks. So you should look like the same way when you come to shul, you have to wear nice clothes. You cannot come dirty to shul. In other words, when you walk dirty in the street and you are called a Talmid Chacham, people look at you. And what do they learn? Look how Talmid Chacham looks. This is Chilul Hashem.
Yeah.
They say, it's also, I saw very interesting, I don't remember who said it. It's like even somebody who learns in a koiler. And you know he's married, and he's got children. And the koiler gives only a few, like it's really nothing to live off. Mm-hmm. And he's working, he's sad, because he's got, he cannot provide his family properly the way he would like to. That's wrong. Because people look at him, they see that being a koilernik is good or bad.
Bad.
It's not, it's bad.
And I want to be that.
So this is again, Chilul Hashem. But if this guy is walking in the street happy, smiles to everybody, behaves nicely, you say, wow, this is the way people should behave.
And doesn't do this.
You see, the point is, it's not what you do from the outside, it's the meaning. As they say, Vayikra, it's the small Aleph. That's the big lesson of the small Aleph. We don't see it, but that's the real truth. And we have to understand that the way we behave has got an influence on others. So you're asking, what should you do? You should show people that Lashon HaShabbat is something good.
I need to tell you something small. I went to a shiur to women and men in from Araf Boyer. He's in Hebrew, the Shabbos. He's famous. And it was women sitting here. It was Yudat Shlishit and men sitting here. And the Rabbanit prepared the
mechitza
till a point that everybody sees the Rav sitting here. I was sitting in a place that I see the Rav, because Hebrew, I need to see what he's talking to understand better. And then in the middle of the shiur, a man from, I didn't see who, from the other side, put the mechitza till the Rav. And I couldn't anymore see the Rav. Why he did this? I was so angry that I went out there. I said, the Haredim, I was very angry with Haredim. Because what? What was bothering him? Only because it was so
packed.
But
you see, it's not Haredim.
It was packed.
It's not Haredim. It's a Meshiganem. Yeah, exactly. We should not generalize. Exactly. And that's why the Torah is telling you should have to be careful when you walk. That's why when Talmid Chacham goes with a dirt on his stuff, he is mitchayev mita. Why? Because you have to understand. People look at you as a sample, and whatever you do, you have an influence on people, and you're doing Chilul Hashem. And this is what this guy did, in a certain way, it's Chilul Hashem.
I said, I'll not never go back there because they have no respect for the women. They don't have respect for the. If they that's see the Rav, is enough.
Oh. That's when people.
You say they. Was one guy, not them.
Men.
Oh, now we are also involved, you see. Now we are also involved.
We're always involved.
Yeah.
In other words, you see, that's exactly the point. The point is that we really have to understand and realize that it's people look at us, people look at what we do, what we are, especially if we are supposed to be religious people. People that's expect right. religious people to behave better. Why?
They expect it.
That's
expect
the way it is. If you're religious, you should be a better person. So in other words, you already have the acid. If they expect this, it means that they understand and realize that to be a religious guy is good or bad.
It's schwer to be a Yid.
It's schwer, but it's good.
Yeah.
And that's the point. Why do they don't do what you do? Because they have Yetzirah. But they adore you. If you behave properly. In other words, and this is the way you influence people to do good.
And even to the non-Jews.
Yeah,
they expect you to do.
Vatem tiuli mamlechet kohanim. I told you the story once years ago. And this is end this lesson. Years ago, I was there was a firm I was looking every exhibition every year and seeing them. They were dealing with furniture, and then one day I saw something very interesting in office furniture that I liked, and I start talking to the salesman, the expo sales manager. And the guy, in those exhibitions, especially big firms, they have a whole restaurant sometimes on the place. And he's telling me, if you want, you can have here to eat or whatever. But he says, the goy, yes?
Mm-hmm.
I know that you eat kosher, it's not kosher. So I said, I can drink coffee, but that's it. I cannot, of course, not touch anything. And we were sitting there, and then he told me, you know, I have to tell you something. You know, yesterday was here a guy also, a Jew from Israel.
Yes.
And I told him, it's not kosher. Hey, it's okay, give me this, give me that. And he was talking in such a...
disgusting way.
In such a way that I felt ashamed.
Yeah.
I felt ashamed.
That's the problem.
Now, this guy wanted to work with this firm, and I wanted to work with this firm. Who worked with this firm eventually? Yeah. Why?
Because
I respected my religion.
You respected your
like the story.
So when even if the going sin, it's got an influence on them.
They expect it.
So in other words, if you ask, what is my sacrifice? How do I make other people? That's your sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's hard. You know, you go on the road. It's very easy to get angry and get out of the car and hit somebody. It's very easy. But this is the test. Try and control yourself. And this is the same way you walk, you go on the line, and somebody goes in front of you. It's aggravating. And sometimes you don't hold it. But
and sometimes this guy uses a kippah.
Which is?
The worst.
Why? What is the difference between him with the one without the kippah?
He has to be an example.
Because you expect him to be an example.
Yeah, of course.
But maybe the kippah is just on his head for nothing.
Yeah.
As a disguise.
Then
why? You're not allowed to go with a kippah on his head?
Then you
don't allow to go with a kippah on your head?
Then you can say,
there is no law against it.
Kippah from your head because you don't deserve
just no, I like lose. I like to have this shmata on my head. What can you say? I'm just saying, you see, that's exactly the point.
Yeah,
we understand it. So we should behave like this.
Yeah.
We should understand that if we go on out on the street, we are Chayale Hashem. We are the soldiers of God. We have to show people the way a Jew behaves.
We had a guy in America that was brought up on charges and he had a trial. He owned old age homes. And he was hearing from it. And it was known. And he was sitting there with the kippah on his
head.
And my rabbi told him that he should take off the kippah.
You know, it's a funny, there is a true story about a guy, a Jew, he used to sell toilet paper. It's a very famous story. And he was, you know, like says there is 100 yard or whatever, but it was only 99. Now, during the year he did tshuva, and it was bothering him, because, you know, in the years, you know, 99, on if you know, we don't understand it, but you're talking about at the end, selling thousands and millions of toilet papers. So every, let's say, 20 centimeters from each one of those, it's a lot of money. So he went to the rabbi, says, what should I do? How do I do tshuva on a thing like this? For a few years, quite a few years, I'm stealing. I'm really, instead, I'm right 100, and there's only 99. He says, you know what you should do? From this day on, you write 100, but you put 110. To fix what you did. So he did it. The funny thing was that they have those programs in television to checking who is telling truth and what is he selling, and they decided to check toilet paper.
No. He's not saying the truth.
He was selling after the double, three times, four times more than ever in his life because he did tshuva. And he only tried to fix what he did wrong. But at the same time when he tried, a week, 2 weeks later, decided to check and they found out that this guy is writing 100. Well, everybody's writing 100 and giving 99, 95. Nobody gave 100. But this guy, writing 100, gave 110. And everybody was hearing about it. So what do you think happened the next day? Everybody bought his toilet paper. So at the end of the day, and there are a lot of stories like this. The end of the day, God is testing us all the time. And he wants to see how we behave. And sometimes, we also are getting rewarded in this world, not only in the next world. Because when God sees that you use your tools in the right way, he gives you better tools. Because he knows, I give this guy $100, he's doing mitzvahs. So when I give him $200, he's going to do more mitzvahs. And what is God? What God wants from us? To do more mitzvahs. From the other side, I give him $100, he's wasting it. So next time, I give him only 50. Maybe he will start to understand and realize. In other words, when we do good, we don't lose. We only have benefit out of it. So, to conclude this lesson, in one small letter, Aleph.
No, but I wanted to ask you something before you finish. You ask in the beginning what is sacrifice, and I said tshuva. I said one answer, tshuva. Because I thought when they did the then they took the sacrifice, it was in order to make tshuva, no?
There are a few sacrifices. There is a sacrifice that you sin. There is also a sacrifice to say thank you. Yeah. And there is also a sacrifice that you give everything to God, Ola, which every day was morning and evening. There are a few kinds. All the whole, if I want to generalize the idea of sacrifices, as we said, Korban Litkarev. To get closer to God. How do you get closer to God? I say thank you for what he gave me. Mm-hmm. I give him a sacrifice just because I want to get closer to him. And if I sin, I give a sacrifice to fix things and get closer to him again.
To make the tshuva.
Exactly. So this tshuva is one reason to be in a sacrifice. There's a lot of reasons.
And also tshuva is la shuv, hey, no? It's not to go back to Hashem. The hay,
la shuv,
and the hay in the end is Hashem.
Yes. Also in mikre, no. You can say the same thing.
Ah,
mikre.
Is it mekaref ataman?
Mikre. The last word is also hay. In other words, there is no mikre. Everything is from God.
Ah, mikre is also
mikre. The end letter is hay. What is hay? God. In other words, there is no mikre. Everything comes from Hashem.
No, tshuva also is tshuva Hashem. Yes.
Yes. Tshuva Hashem. Yes. Tshuva, mishon tshuva, going back. That's tshuva.
Can I just ask you, the mitzvah of Purim is to drink. It's a mitzvah to drink.
The mitzvah is to give presents to the poor, to give mishloach manot, mm-hmm. to read the Megillah or hear the Megillah, mm-hmm. and to drink. The idea to drink is to drink till you don't know the difference between Mordechai and Haman.
Okay.
And what is the idea behind it? People are, let's say, abusing this sometimes, unfortunately, and think that drinking is to roll under the table. drunk and not knowing what you're doing.
How do you teach the idea of it?
Who can teach? Everybody does what exactly. It's the same old story. Everybody does what he wants to do. So some people say yes, you should drink, get drunk because yain is samach levanosh. Yeah, the big mitzvah. It depends how you look at it. But what is the idea behind the Gemara? Do you think the Gemara wants us to get drunk? That's the idea. And there is, I've got no time, but there are a lot of interesting stories about this. I'm saying that's what I'm saying. So what? The idea is, what is the idea? The idea is that you don't know the difference between Aru, Aman, Baruch Mordechai is a very simple reason. What did we say in the beginning? Everything is from
Hashem.
God. So we don't care if it's Haman or Mordechai, because Haman and Mordechai are both from Hashem. So for us, it's no different. We have to do our job. Doesn't matter if it's Haman or if it's Mordechai. That's the idea. The idea is to get drunk, is to get drunk in a way to understand and realize that there is no difference between Haman and Mordechai. Everything is from God. Yeah. And when you realize
Being
this...
Gantz is not that, different.
Yes, that's exactly this. Schwanz and Gantz are the same thing.
So can I give you this?